Hey friends, coming up on Fire Moment, you definitely want to stay tuned. It's a richly anointed program as we complete this series about getting unstuck. You know, God desires and He loves you so much, He doesn't want to leave you where you are. Sometimes we get lazy or in a slump, and He wants to bring you out. So I encourage you to stay tuned for this very anointed program. God's Word is anointed, we know, and it's strong anointing today with prayer, and you'll be delivered today on Fire Moment. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here.
From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Pastor Adam Lawson of Fresh Fire Church brings you Fire Moments, taking the fire of God around the world.
Friends, welcome to Fire Moment. I'm Pastor Adam Lawson from Fresh Fire Church, just outside Uniontown, Pennsylvania, so we're south of Pittsburgh. You know, we hear from all of you from all over the place, from across the country, in our local area, and even around the world, and it blesses us that we're able to broadcast on this TV station, or maybe you're watching us online, and we thank God for technology, we thank God for you, we thank God for this network that broadcasts our program. You know, God is a mighty God, and there is a powerful, powerful message in the gospel, in the word here, but we need to get that gospel out, and we're able to do that and utilize technology in these airways to be able to bring the gospel to you. And what a tremendous thing it is. Friend, you and I need to give God thanks for technology. It's because of technology. It's because of God giving people, men and women, some amazing God ideas that we have smartphones and we can connect with you and one another around the world with these. It's absolutely amazing that when you email us, when you connect with us, that we get it right away and we're able to see it and respond to you. That's technology. And you know, that comes from God. There's nothing that's been invented or created that was not a God idea. You realize that? And yet the world gives all the credit to men and women, but it was God who created them. It was God that gave the idea. And God is wanting you and I to utilize this technology to take the gospel around the world. And it is absolutely amazing. So when you're praying today, just give God thanks for technology. And maybe, friend, you will have the next great idea. Maybe God will give you the next great invention that will take the world by force and take the gospel around the world and do something tremendous. I pray often from the congregation here at Fresh Fire, for God to give them witty inventions and new ideas, to give them the courage to step out in faith and see it become what God desires it to become. So thank God for that. I thank God for you watching today. As always, go to our website for more information about me, for information about our church and what we're doing. And if you want to visit, if you want to see where I'm speaking or where I'm going to be ministering as I travel, my itinerary is up there. Love to meet you. Love to have you be a part of services wherever I am. So take a look at our website, and I know that you'll be blessed by all the content that's there. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been dealing on this subject and talking about being stuck and being stuck in maybe our marriage, our finances, our spiritual walk. Friend, I'll tell you, in all honesty, I've been stuck in my spiritual walk many times. As a pastor and just as a leader, it's really easy to get stuck quickly, because we have such routines. I'm a guy that likes to be organized, and although sometimes my office doesn't look like it, for those of you that follow me on social media, I'll snap a picture of my office once in a while, and you've seen the desk. But it is better now, so it's clean. But I'm a guy that likes to be organized. I like things in order. I have a planner. I see when things are going to be and lay out my day, and I like that. But that is also, for many of us that are very organized, a detriment to us, because we stick to that routine and often and very easily can not allow the Holy Ghost to lead. I can get up, and I've done this, and I do it still, and I have to catch myself that I'll get up, I'll look at my planner, I see what the day brings, and I get going. And I always have my prayer time, but throughout the day I forget to say, you know, before I go into Walmart, Holy Ghost, just lead my steps. Show me, God, if there's somebody you want me to minister to. I forget to do it because of my planner. I got to do this, this, and this. And so for many of you that are organized or whatever, it can really harm us. So we have to make sure that we allow and create time for the Holy Ghost. And so we've been talking and looking in our text, and everything that I've shared the last 2 weeks comes out of Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And I'm not going to summarize and go back through everything I've already taught, but I encourage you, if you've missed any of those programs, to go and check out the archives that are available by going to our website or on our YouTube page. And we see where there's been persecution happening to the church, yet the apostles were commissioned to wait for the Holy Ghost And then once the Holy Ghost comes, wait till they're endued with power on high, and then go. And they waited. They stayed in Jerusalem, the Bible says, for 8 years. Now, because they waited, chaos began to happen. The Holy Ghost, God decided, hey, if you're not going to move, I'm going to push you to move. And so God allows there to start being some persecution, some things to happen to try to move them out. And so we see that, and we've looked at that over the last few weeks, asking you several questions, thought-provoking questions, causing us to look at our life to see in our marriage, our finances, our schooling, our career, our life with Christ, if we're stuck, if we're in a holding pattern. And oftentimes we're stuck, as I shared with you, we're often stuck because the problem is that we can't love what it is. We can't love where we're at for wishing for what it was, and that we're kind of stuck in this place where we're in love with the memory more than we are where we're at right now. And I've learned, friend, and I'm still learning. It's one of the places that thing God has me working on right now is just to enjoy the moment. And probably over the last 7 to 10 days, I've just pulled back, and I've slowed down, and I thought I'm just going to enjoy the moment, like. I may have a list of things to do, and I have a very long to-do list. But at the same time, God's teaching me to enjoy the now. And as I bring this word to you, it's ministering to me because that's what God wants. God created this beautiful earth. God gave us the breath in our lungs. God gave us the people in our lives. And yet we are so busy. And while even in that busyness, we can be in a rut. Although we're moving, it doesn't mean we're going anywhere. You know, I found that to be true, that I can be moving and walking and doing all sorts of things and have a long to-do list, but it doesn't mean that I'm making progress. And movement without progress, friend, is spiritual death. Really, it is. Movement without progress just equals spiritual death because God looks at movement as progress. And so we need that in our life. So let me just pick up right where I left off last week. So again, go back and check out the program if you missed it. And as I ended, I said that when we don't respond to life's challenges with changes, then God will move us by chaos. You see, God will allow the challenges to come so that we'll make life changes. And if we don't make life changes, he'll try to move us by chaos. That's what I found in my life. That's why I kind of, in these last 7 to 10 days, I've just held the reins and thought, you know what, I just need to enjoy the moment. I just need to breathe, all right? I can take an extra 5 minutes and just sit there in the stillness of it on my back deck and just breathe and enjoy the noise of the birds and the breeze and the beautiful day and not have to rush out the door, that whatever it is, it can wait because of that moment. That moment right there is the moment when the Holy Ghost may speak or when he may give me direction or an answer that I need. And so I've learned just to, you know, just enjoy the moment, whatever that is. You know, I love my coffee, and so I can learn to just enjoy it, breathe, and not, you know, hurry up and take a quick drink and run out the door. That, you know, if you just do that, and I've learned just to, you know, some people, and I don't want to sound odd or weird, and I by no means believe in the New Age movement or any of those things, but I just realized that just by slowing down and just breathing and just focusing, that I'm in the present, like I'm in the now, and you realize and you see what's happening, and I'm more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's more difficult for me to really hear from the Holy Ghost when I'm just frantic and running. And yet you got to really allow those moments. And so, friend, when we don't make those life changes that God wants for us, then God will start the chaos. And we know that God moves in the midst of that spinning and that chaos. And I want to move because I got it the first time. I don't want to be like the apostles where the persecution begins and all this stuff starts because God's just trying to get me to move. Do you realize that God cares about you enough, so much so, that he'll allow trouble to come to try to push you into progress, to try to get you out of that rut, that God loves us so much. So, friend, let's hear the word of the Lord. You see, one way or another, God is going to get you up out of your slump. That's how much God cares, that God doesn't want you and I to just come to church, even if we're faithful at it, and continue without progress, that one way or another, he's going to get us out of our slump. Till we dance, until we shout, until we think, or till we pray, till we do whatever it is that God has commissioned us to do. I know I'm talking to people today that years ago God gave you a vision. years ago God showed you that you would be healed, or years ago he showed you that you would be delivered, or that you would be married, whatever it is. And now here we are 10, 15, 20 years later, and that's a distant memory. You've kind of thought, I must have missed God. Maybe you've thought different things, but yet God is saying, no, I didn't change my mind. That's what I desire for you. It's what I still desire for you. And God is saying, hey, if I can get you up out of this slump, guess what? It's here. It's available to you and I. That maybe we got discouraged or wrapped up in life or made a bad decision in a broke down moment and became consumed. But God says, hey, it's still there. I still got the man or the woman for you. I still have the financial breakthrough. I still have the career for you. God still has it all, but he's saying, I need to get you up out of the slump. So he'll use things. He'll use life challenges to do it. Glory to God. So he's gonna get us up out of our sleep. He's going to shake you and shake you down and shake you up and wake you up and not leave you stuck. That's the purpose right now, that God needs the church of Jesus Christ to be moving, but not just moving as far as doing things. God needs the church. God needs his church, especially the church in America. Especially here in the United States, God needs his church making progress. Church, we haven't made progress for years. That's why the world, that's why our country is in the shape that it's in. That's why the government came up with welfare, is because the church stopped giving to the needy people. So many issues that while we are outraged and upset and blamed, it's because the church stopped making progress. It's because the church stopped moving. Oh, we're noisy. And all we have TV celebrities, Christian TV celebrities, that go on there and say all the right things according to the word. But where were they 10 years ago? What good is it now to get on there and be a big mouth? It's of no value, friend, if we're not going to be mobile, if we're not going to do what the word of God says, and if we're not going to do it in the right way. You see, I believe that what God really needs is not just platform celebrities who get up and say all the right things and make it sound good, but God needs people who will move. And I'll tell you, I don't see very many people moving. I see a lot of people moving their lips. I see a lot of people moving their jaw. But God's saying, what about moving your feet? God says, what about doing what I've called you to do? I don't know about you, but I really want to see so many people who have a lot to say here get their feet moving and go start ministering and witnessing and leading some people to Jesus. I'd love to see some of those folks, those same folks, go into the difficult areas and go into the deep ghetto and start preaching Jesus instead of staying behind our TV lights and hiding. That's the heart of God, is that we be a church of progress, that we be a church that one-on-one, I could meet you and shake your hand and tell you about the love of Jesus. See, that's the heart of God, and that's what we see in our text. God said in the book of Acts, is that wait for you to be endued with power from on high and then go. You see, what we're doing is we're going from our home to our offices, and we're going from our offices to the platform, and that's not what God said when he said go. God said, go ye all into the world, and what we've done is made our own little world in that we go into the church, and God said no, and so the church has become still. We're busy and we're loud and we have great music and we have all these great things in the church. And I'm not knocking that. But what I'm saying is that we're not accomplishing the will of God. And so let me ask you, have you ever thought that part of the chaos and part of the frustration in your life might be because you're out of the will of God? Have you ever thought that it might be because God is trying to move you into the place and the position that he has for you? He's trying to mature you and bring progress into your life. Have we ever really thought that? Or are we going to just continue to blame everything on the devil? You see, I know that the devil isn't responsible for everything. I know that some of it I bring on myself. Some of it I bring on because of a bad decision, because of my flesh, because of my weakness, because I ignored God, because I didn't read my word. There's a lot of things that I can take responsibility for. There are some things the enemy is responsible for. But I'm telling you that God has a bigger plan. And what we need to do now is listen. What we need to do right now as a church is move. God is trying to get the church mobile, get us moving, and let us do and be what he's called us to be. Hallelujah. And not just hide behind our pulpits, not just hide four walls of our buildings, but to do what he said and take the love of Christ, take the truth of his word to his people. Hallelujah. I'll get off my soapbox and continue on. Hallelujah. You see, in the text that we see there in Acts, drama basically breaks out in Jerusalem, and it wouldn't have broke out if they would have just left when they were told to leave. How many times have you looked at your life and you thought, you know, that never would have happened if I'd have listened? Growing up, We learn that the hard way with mom and dad. You know, they'll tell us not to do something, we do it, and then we find out why they told us not to do it, because we fell and broke our leg, or we got hurt, or there was a consequence that they told us, and we found out why. And even as an adult, I see that. You know, if I just would have listened and not made that decision, if I just wouldn't have done that, if I just wouldn't have caved to people's opinion, it wouldn't have happened. And so if they just would have listened, the drama would never have broken out. There would be something very different that we would be reading. So they did nothing different from what they did before. They just stayed. Church, God wants us to get up and go to work and go to church and go home. God said change and bring a turnaround. You see, God didn't give us that element or that schedule of events that I get up, go to work, go home, go to church, and do that every day. But God said that He wants there to be change. He wants there to be a turn, a twist, that we are sensitive to the Holy Ghost. He's our comforter. He's our guide. And we've got to be sensitive and listen to Him. God says the church is boring and predictable. I'll tell you, I really believe that. I can believe that God sits in heaven and knows and looks down and says that the bulk of His church, the bulk of His people are boring and predictable. He knows how we'll react. He knows how we'll respond to things. God saved you and I, my friend, that you would be an expression of Him in the world. God saved us, the Bible says. And as we understand salvation, then we understand that He saved us so that we would be an expression of Him in this world. So the world would see Jesus in you and I. I want to tell you, the world needs to see Jesus in you and I. By that means that when we're walking in the mall or we're walking down the street, they see a man or a woman that loves and has compassion and not judgment, a man or woman that will take the time to pray and heal, a man and woman that believe God above all else. Hallelujah. He saved us so we would affect everything we touch. I don't know about you, but I want to affect the environment I'm in. I want to affect the lives that I touch. I want to affect that. That's what it was to be Jesus. And God put us in this world that we would demonstrate that to this world. He saved us so that we would go into the enemy's camp and take back what the devil has done. Take back what the devil has stolen. You see, and God says that we are predictable. God sees so many of His people, and He knows they won't go into the enemy's camp. They know that they won't walk down the street and be a witness. He looks at them and knows that there won't be any change by them. And that's not the heart of God for you and I. Hallelujah. I believe that God is saying to the church today, you've got to move. You've got to move. If you were here, I would tell you, friend, that God is saying, you've got to move. I have to move. We've got to move because it's in the movement that there is progress. That's where the progress is. You see, I got to get busy. I've got to get stirred up. That's what this is about, is that I believe God is giving me and giving this word to me to share with you so that you would get stirred up, so that you would get to studying His word, so that you would get excited again about the things of God. Yes, there is hell all around us. Yes, there is trouble. Yes, there are things that may be difficult or hard for you to understand, but God needs His church to tap into the things of the Spirit, because it's when we tap into the things of the Spirit. It's when I tap into His word. It's when I study. It's when I do those things that I get stirred up, where I have the ability, where I get the strength to pick myself up and move again. Hallelujah. God is trying to shake you up, friend. That's what He's trying to do in this hour. The trouble around you, the persecution around you, all the things. I believe this. While we are outraged at the laws that have been passed about marriage, I'm telling you, God is trying to stir the church up. While we are finally saying something, while people are finally standing up, God is trying to stir the church up. That's what it is. I told our church, and I did something different than everybody else, and I usually do and catch heat for it, but I'll tell you what I told them is that, yes, there were a lot of our platform celebrities finally spoke up and said something and you know, did all those things, and pastors were on the news, and everybody was, you know, moving their mouth about it and talking about how outraged they are and the abomination and all of these things. And then I could see something totally different, and I could see that there's not one person in authority in this country or in this world, the Bible says, that wasn't appointed by God. That's true. President Barack Obama won because God allowed it, all right? Every person in leadership, God allows them to be there. And nothing that happens in this world, if you believe God is God, happens that doesn't pass through the hand of God. And so I believe that it's not that God made it happen. It's not that God is for it. It's not that any of those things. It is that God is trying to do something. He said in his word that in his last days he will pour out his spirit. God is trying to set it up so that he can pour out his spirit, so that we're going to see a great coming of souls to the body of Christ. I believe that. And so God allows a decision to come through that might outrage enough people that they'll get stirred up, that they'll get unstuck from the place that they are, that they'll get to a place and he'll get them from being stuck to a place of movement, to a place of progress. God is trying to bring the church that has been stuck for so many years and decades up out of it, that the church can be large and in charge like he designed and created us to be. That's what I believe, church. God wants to do something extraordinary. So he allowed a decision that looks permanent. And God will show you that it's only been temporary. And God will raise the church up to do what we've been called to do, to bring change, to influence change in this nation, to influence a major move of God that will speak to the hearts of men and women, that will bring a great harvest of souls, that will bring deliverance. That's what I believe. That's the God I see. I see the same kind of circumstances in Acts that we're reading, where there was a people just not listening, and they did what they wanted to do. They did the opposite of what God told them to do. And God began to allow things to happen to get them up and get them moving. God is doing it today, friend, because he wants the church to get moving. Oh, hallelujah. I might catch some heat for what I'm telling you, but I believe it to be true. So save your time and your ink and keep it to yourself. Anything that doesn't change, my friend, is dead. And I know that I have breath and I have life and I can see and my heart is beating. And I know, my friend, that anything that doesn't change is dead, but I'm alive and well. Every day we wake up, every day you're moving, you are alive. And because you're alive, that means there's change. God needs you and I to be bringing change every day. Change is good because every day I change to become more like him. I look more like him, act more like him, walk more like him, talk more like him. The more I read the word, the more I change. Hallelujah. Is there anyone left in the church that is on fire for God? That's what this is about. These last days, there were things happening. Supreme Court's making decisions. All of this is happening because God is saying, who's on fire? Who will rise up? Who will get unstuck from where they are? Is there anyone that is still on fire for God that'll do and be what he's called us to be? I just pray that somebody will raise up that'll look like Jesus in this time. I pray that somebody will raise up and look like Jesus and act like Jesus and walk like Jesus for this country that will help bridge the gap between the Christians and the war against homosexuals. There needs to be someone that will have the strength and the audacity and all of that to be raised up to be that and to walk and carry that anointing. God is looking for somebody that is on fire for God enough to say, I'm going to do what he's called me to do. Is there somebody out there like that? You see, you and I need to take a step out of our seat. We need to take a step up out of the place of comfort, a few steps to prophetically speak that we're on the move. I don't know, maybe you're sitting at your couch. Maybe you're in your car and you're watching it on your mobile TV. Maybe, I don't know, you're in the office or whatever, but wherever you are, you need to move your feet and do something to prophetically say to the devil, to prophetically say to your flesh, to prophetically proclaim it to the heavens and to every angelic force that you are on the move again, that you may have been down for a season. There have been times where I have been stuck and broke, busted, and disgusted, and I've not moved. I've not had progress. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord says that you may have been down. You may have been stuck for a moment, but you are not out. That this word comes to you today to stir you and to challenge you and to remind you of who God is. That God isn't someone, God is not a spirit that he moved just back then, but he is a God that wants to move today in you. He's a God that wants to move tomorrow, but he needs a people that will get on the move again, that won't just stay in their Jerusalem, but they'll get and they'll go and do what he's called and commissioned them to do. I know that I'm talking to somebody today. I know that I am talking to you today, but I'm challenging you, friend. I'm telling you that it is not weakness that's killing the church. It is stillness. It's not that the church has been weak and that's not what's killing the church. It is our stillness. My God, if you stand still long enough, you will die. If you stand still long enough, the enemy will get you. And that's what we found, is that the church stopped moving, and the enemy has had a field day ripping it apart and wrapping himself around us and strangulating the life out of us. But when you are moving, you are harder to hit. And so, friend, it is the stillness that has been killing us, and God is trying to speak to you and I today, and he wants you to get unstuck. He wants you to get unstuck. Friend, I've only got a little bit of time, but I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every person watching. Father, I pray for every person of these needs in my hand, that God, that they would get unstuck. Father, that you would bring them up out, that the word, as your word says, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. That God, it will cut, it will break them loose. Everything that has tied them down and secured them in the place that they are, break them free right now in the name of Jesus. Your word says that the anointing destroys every yoke. So every yoke that is strangulating and quenching and suffocating people, I declare today that your word and your anointing has broke them free in Jesus' name. That your people watching will move again. That every prayer need in my hand, they will move again. And I give you thanks and I give you praise for it. We're believing for a miracle working power. We're believing for your people, God, to move again because of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, I wish I had time to pray more, but we're simply out of time. But you must know that I love you. And I bring this word because I love you. I care about you and I care about your future. And you do have one in Jesus. He wants to get you moving. God, he wants to get me moving. So, friend, I love you, praying for you. We look forward to seeing you next week here on the program. Until then, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.
By today's message. If you would like to know more about Fresh Fire Church, visit us at freshfirechurch.net or call us at 724-580-7027. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Visit us at 6497 National Pike, Briar Hill, Pennsylvania. Until next time, may the fire of God consume your life. We'll be right back.